from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez hanging out with you on a weekend or whatever day it is you listen to the podcast via wildmichiganradio.com. We appreciate you either way via our great affiliates across the Great Lakes State, like being back at home. Back where it all began. Every station we're on is home. Okay, let me get that straight right now. I was up in Midland over the weekend, and actually during the week. Beautiful city. Love Midland. Love WLUN for having us on. And, and I was up there, and now we're back in Lansing. Two affiliates in Lansing now on the game, 7:30 a.m. WVFN. My hometown in Lansing, of course, the station where Brock and I started this thing 16 years ago, where Nathan and I keep it going. It's fantastic. Also, thanks to our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason, and Conquest Sense, makers of, yes, attractants, but deterrents as well. They make what's called Danger Zone to keep the small game and the bigger wild game away from your gardens, your perennials. So check out the Danger Zone at ConquestSense.com. You can order directly from both places, okay? ConquestSense and Not Just Guns, and they will do all the paperwork to get you taken care of, whatever it is you need. Gonna switch things up a little bit. Had a little bit of a curveball thrown us in the first hour, but we've got great relief catching, if you will. I pitched the questions, and Mark Sack is going to knock him out of the park with the answers. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I can hit the curveball, baby.
He can hit the curveball. Me, I'm just more of a DH because I don't want to run.
Well, you've been on 16 years?
Yeah, man. I'll be 16 in September.
And you're getting long in the tooth.
Oh, tell me about it. I didn't think we were going to last a week when we started the show, but we did what I thought would work best is I'm that guy that sits in the audience that has all the questions, but usually won't ask, but it's radio. Nobody's looking at me. I can ask the questions even if they sound dumb, because there's no such thing as a dumb question in the outdoors, right?
Well, and I've been told that I got a face for radio too. So
see,
it's a good match.
It keeps us going. And I had to stop there because there's an old radio joke that I can't say on the air, and I almost said it. So, that being said, Mark, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm getting old and they're long in the tooth as well, but I'm still after them walleyes, and bluegills are picking up like crazy. And if we could shut this rain off a little bit, we've had a lot of rain over here in the Thumb. And I was telling you off air, we had one storm about 10 days ago. We had 7 inches of rain. And it was real localized. It wasn't widespread, but holy mackerel, you get those nice gills starting on their beds, and then you get 7 inches of rain. Lake goes up 4 inches, and it changes everything. It cools the temps. It blows the gills off the beds for a while. So they've been stuttering a little bit, but they're really trying now. So next couple weeks, time to get the kids out.
You know what? And that's surprising, too, because of how stubborn bluegill can be and sometimes not smart, but stubborn because they love their bedding areas and they usually don't do much to deviate from that. But it looks like a little extra water isn't going to help things.
Yeah, they've really had to. I mean, and what we've noticed, on our lake this year, and we've got a really nice little spring-fed lake. It's about 300 acres over near Lapeer, and it's 64 feet deep in its deepest area. So it's very, very clear. Not this year. It is dingy, dingy, dingy from all this runoff. And so obviously there are a lot of changes that the lake has went through this spring, which has kind of slowed things. I've noticed the bass have not been eating well, and that's usually this time of year, man, they're gobbling right now, and I'm catching fish that are skinny right now because it's just been an off year as far as weather goes on that lake. So I expect it to change here, and it's going to be gangbusters here in the next month, but it's been a little slow.
Mark Sack joins us here right now, outdoor writer and angler. Mark, when you get bigger bodies of water and heavy rains, yes, it's going to affect their levels, their temperatures. And let's talk about the bay a little bit. I was hoping to talk about the bay earlier in the show, but we'll talk about the bay with you. And how has that affected the walleye bite over there?
Well, the runoff it makes the water dirtier, obviously, in a lot of places. I mean, and I've fished the bay for, geez, I don't even want to tell you how many years. We used to fish it back in the Michigan Walleye Tour when it first started back in the early 90s. And you know, it's changed tremendously since that point. And so we still are having, and I could tell you this, you know, we worked really hard to help the bay in our Pheasants Forever chapter. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, what we did is we got involved with the CREP program and soil conservation and USDA, and we provided seed for a lot of the drainages that went in the bay to create buffer strips to try to keep that silt out of the bay. Well, when you got this kind of rain coming through, there's not much that can hold it back. So you're seeing a little cooler temperatures. You're seeing a lot of silt in the water and a lot of dirt in the water. But I have seen that it is picking up, and a lot of guys are you know, really doing well finally up there. But it was slow up there to begin with as well.
Man, it's just, it's, you know, like we said, this weather's been crazy. The rain's been terrible. The only thing it's been good for is a bumper crop of mosquitoes. But, you know, we are going to get some warmer temperatures coming, above average heat coming, and some stretches. And that is going to affect things too, especially on a place like Saginaw Bay, which is not very deep.
Yep, and you know what happened here in the last 4 days? We had a hatch. The mayflies hatched. So we've got to get that out of the way. And when that water really starts warming, you're going to have a good month of dynamite fishing up there. I mean, dynamite. It's going to be really good. And let me give your listeners my best all-time spinning harness. It is a number 5 Indiana Blade. Wonder Bread on brown beads, and I call it Wonder Goby. And I cannot tell you how many times I have had all 6 boards go back on that crawler harness for whatever reason, for years and years. And I think it not only does it, you know, does it look like a goby at some point, but it also looks like a mayfly mm-hmm. because of that Wonder Bread white spinner blade on there. So give it a try. You won't go wrong with it. It has always produced well for me.
Now, real quickly, speaking of Mark Sack here on Wild Michigan, for those of you who do not understand the Wonder Bread color, it's a white with like the bread wrapper, white with the yellow and red and blue dots, which make up the flex on the blade. Now, Mark, maybe you can help me a little bit better than, you know, than I'll be able to describe this, but where did we ever come up with monkey puke?
I know. Well, that was, you know, it was right in that time when all the crazy names were coming out. And it was actually, I think it came off the Michigan Walleye Tour because there was a whole bunch of guys that were really getting crazy with names. And it doesn't look very good. I mean, it's a really dark bead that's got a goofy looking sheen on it. It could, one time you look at it, it looks purple. One time it looks like it's a dark green, you know, it just doesn't look good. But boy, I'll tell you, that thing produced for years too. And I haven't run it lately, but that was very popular. And you know, we were using bigger beads on that too. So don't be afraid to experiment up there. You know, I like to bottom bounce up there. I love bottom bouncing on the bay. And, here's another really good tip for folks.
Hold that thought real quick, Mark. We're going to come back, talk to Mark Sack, get more tips right here on Wild Michigan.
Still believe. Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan spirit of the wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez hanging out with you on the Michigan Talk Network all over the world via wildmichiganradio.com, and our podcasts are there. And welcome New Brunswick. I gotta say that because they were really heavy on the podcast over there in New Brunswick. Thank you so much, everybody that listens to the show, wherever you are, via our affiliates or the podcast. And thanks to our friends at Conquest Sense that keep the show going. Also, Not Just Guns. Great Michigan people with great Michigan companies, keeping our economy rolling here with great products. And Mark Sack is joining us right now. And Mark, real quickly, we've been hearing this mourning dove in the background of your place. And they hold a really, really nasty place in my life in the history of the show, because when we started this show in 2006, Proposal 3 was on the ballot to hunt mourning doves. And
oh, yeah.
The worst commercial in the world was some guy in a red and black checkered plaid shirt and says, "I'm a hunter, but I don't find a reason to hunt mourning doves." I'm like, well, you're an idiot, because 30 some other states hunt mourning doves. I can go to Indiana and hunt mourning doves. So what makes it any different in Michigan why we can't? Look on the box of Remington 6-shot. It's a mourning dove. So, you know, there it is. Every time I see them or hear them, I get a little angry, and maybe that's why. But because we lost Proposal 3.
Well, let me tell you. I'm really producing a lot of mourning doves for Indiana, as you can hear. I mean, you know, number one, they nest 4 times a year. So, my God, you know, and they're even nesting in my flower boxes. I've got hanging baskets and they're nesting in there. I mean, they're everywhere, you know, and I think even when that proposal was on the ballot way back when, we've got 10 times more mourning doves right now than we had then. I mean, they're just everywhere. So I don't know. You know, they're just such a great bird to wing shoot. And I'm an old wing shooter from way back. But there is a lot of frustration in that because they're so cute. You know, that's the problem. People look at them and say, oh, you can't shoot the cute bird. Well, you know, everybody else is. That's the problem. So, you know, we just get left out of that. And, you know, we're losing ground as far as our ability to determine what we hunt and how we hunt. You know, we're the dinosaurs now here. So, boy, we've got to stand strong. That's for sure.
Well, I'm just going to let you real quickly rest assured. They'll be nesting at my place, too, but it'll be in the oven. Just so we're clear.
Going to Indiana, huh?
Sure. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what you got to do it. That's, you know, obviously. But, it's a tough thing that we have to deal with here, is that other people mostly determine our initiatives on the ballot, that hunters can't specifically. We don't have enough numbers anymore to determine that. So, you got to enjoy it. You got to recruit. That's one of the things that we need to do, is recruit people to our sports.
Absolutely. And you know what? The end of the line, the end result is the harvest of what we do. The work put into habitat, environment, monies paid to the Pittman-Robertson Act, licenses, fuel, groceries, everything, all encompassing the billions of dollars we put into what we do, what we love, what everyone else that even doesn't do it enjoy. The end result is the minimal amount of harvest that goes on through each species. You know,
yes, and obviously there is a need to manage. I mean, we are the management tool. So when you look at that, there is no better management tool than hunters harvesting their quota. That's what we need to do to really make our wildlife healthy. You know, that's, you know, I mean, we're talking, you're hearing all this about bird flu and, you know, we've got lots of issues with our deer herd. And it is very important that we continue to use the best management tool there is, which is hunting and fishing.
I agree. And, you know, nothing bothers me more to see, you know, 20 roadkill from here to Mount Pleasant on just one way up. You know what I mean? When it comes to whitetails, and you know they're fresh because they're bright red, they're in their summer colors, and it's a very difficult thing for me to see. I don't have to harvest something every time I go out and hunting, okay? I don't. But it's more difficult to see somebody that, you know, we had a motorcycle fatality the other day in Clinton County, okay? We have car deer accidents all over. It's a year-round issue, more prevalent in the fall when the mating season is going on. But, you know, the insurance companies would like to see us have this thinned out a little bit because it is a huge, huge issue financially for everybody involved.
And farmers. I mean, I've got a neighbor who's a vegetable farmer here. So obviously we have some tremendous deer hunting, but we also have some tremendous deer damage from his crop damage is amazingly high.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's one of those things that you have to find the midline. And, you know, there's just it's pretty amazing. I mean, guys still want those. They just don't want to take those doe. I say take the does late. I mean, use them to get your big bucks in and then take a doe late in the season to help balance your herd out. You know, you don't always have to, you know, go in and just whack all your does off before, you know, the rut starts, because obviously that's going to affect on how many bucks are running through your property, and especially these days when everybody's got 10 acres. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's just but you know, there's nothing better to eat out there than a nice doe.
Right.
So, you know, it is important to manage your place. And I've been writing a lot of articles for Woods and Water News on whitetails lately, and it's been very interesting to see how guys are able to manage 20 to 40 acre parcels still and get big bucks. And it's happening all over. So, you know, it's important to look at how successful folks manage their herd.
Mm-hmm.
I've certainly been trying to do that. I've been working on deer blinds here for the last month because now's the time. So I got one more I got to finish and I'm done finally. And then I got to start doing a little bit of trimming and I'm ready. I am ready to go. So, you know, it's that time.
Well, good.
And start thinking about it.
Mark Sack joins us here on Wild Michigan. And Mark, I apologize. I hijacked that conversation because of those doggone morning doves. And you were going to give us another tip about fishing. We were talking about fishing the Wonder Bread blade with the big brown beads, the kind of the root beer colored beads for walleye in the Saginaw Bay. So I'm going to pick up where we left off real quickly and get that second tip with you.
Yeah, I'll be glad to give it to you. Well, I was fishing, you know, the bay real hard back a ways, and I was experimenting. And I was using PAS back then. PAS are weight forward spinners, and we used to actually clip the one-aught hook off the back of the PAS, and we tie a crawler harness on the back of that and make it about 2.5-3 foot long. And you can do this with anything that you can get to the bottom. It doesn't have to be a PAS because PAS are not on the market anymore.
All right.
You can use a crank. You can use anything. But what you want to do is you want to dig that bottom out there. Make that bill of that crankbait dig right into the bottom. I guarantee you a walleye will hump that thing down and kill it.
There it is. All that in a short amount of time. Thanks so much, Mark. Appreciate it. And if you missed anything, we'll try and add it to the podcast here on Wild Michigan. Thank you, Lansing, for having us back. Thank you, everybody, for having us back here on the Michigan Talk Network. More coming your way next.